And, but still was, light didn't come on. We just pray for her salvation. Romans chapter 1, preaching today, glorifying the eternal power of the Godhead. Glorifying the eternal power of the Godhead. As we mentioned, been looking at a series of messages about glorifying God as God. Because of what we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21, where the Word of God says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And all mankind really knows God. It's just we make a choice of whether or not we glorify Him as God. And as God's people, more than anybody else, we should take advantage of the opportunity, because as children of God, we know Him in a way different than other people know Him. And may God help us to, by example, really just because He's God. I mean, really, if you think about that He's God, how can you not live for Him? If you really believe that He's God, then you'll live for Him. You know, and that's what really, and that's kind of a statement of itself, we really think about it, because it makes me wonder if we really believe who God is sometimes, because, you know, we allow our lives to be governed by what we consider to be authorities or powers or influence. And imagine, think about the things in your life and my life that we allow to dictate many of the decisions we made this week that had absolutely nothing to do with God. And yet we made decisions and we were pressed by decisions and we did certain things that we almost felt compelled to do, even to a measure we would go so much as say they were needed or necessary, and they had absolutely nothing to do with God. Decisions we made, things we had to do, I've got to go here, I've got to go there, and they had absolutely nothing to do with glorifying God as God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13, we'll start reading here, and then we'll move over and look at Daniel by way of illustration and hopefully application. But in verse 13, you'll notice that the Word of God says this: now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I was purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, this is a good verse to really think about. I was talking to a preacher this week, and I said, I think some of the mistakes we've made in fundamentalism is that we've tried hard to make everybody know what we believe instead of make sure they know who we believe in. Because, you know, if they know who we believe in, you can't help but believe it. You know, because, hey, once I found out who Jesus was, I couldn't help but believe in Him. I couldn't help but trust Him. And ever since I knew who He was, everything about my being wants to know Him more, wants to love Him more, wants to do more. Yes, I've been carnal. I've been backsliding different times. But because I know Him, there's always that pull that I still want to meet Him with Him, having absolutely everything about Him. And verse 16 again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We looked at that first, and for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. And last time we looked at righteously releasing the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it unto them. For in the visible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So God said one of the things that are known of God is His eternal power. And that's one of the things that we need to glorify God as God, by glorifying the eternal power of the Godhead. Father, you know what you like to do, and you know what you need to do to me to get it accomplished. So do what you need to do to me, and then do what you need to do to the hearers, so that we can all leave here pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, eternal means without beginning or end of existence. It also means everlasting. It also means endless. It means immortal. It means unchangeable, which also said in a different way because I like being redundant. Existing at all times without change. Now, power means command. It means the right of governing. It means dominion. It means to have rule or sway. Authority. Force. Strength. Ability. That which enables the doing or performing of anything. And I was thinking about, in light of what God would lead us to accomplish through glorifying the eternal power of God. Okay, God is eternal. Doesn't change. No end or beginning. He has power. And it never changes from generation to generation. It doesn't change with your age. God has eternal power when you're a baby in the womb. God has eternal power when you're 97, if you live to be that long. And I thought, asked myself the question, what would display the eternal power of God? And then I thought to myself, with God's help, of course, because not too much up here, what attribute is it that God commands of his children that would display the eternal power of Godhead? Can I think with that, what command he commands of his children? Pardon me? That could be, if you love, that'll be a message too. But what does he require? Let's put it that way. That may jog a memory verse for that converge. He does command us that we do love, by the way. But what require? What does God require of his children? Found faithful. Because faithfulness displays the eternal power of God. Because faith, if a person is faithful, they continue to go on. See, God did not command or require perfection because we would all give up. That's why many people do give up, because they interpret God's desire for them to be perfection. Now, he did say be perfect, but that just means mature. Mature does not mean without failure, but mature means that you work in reference to truths that you know. A mature person has lived some time, and they take the experiences of they've had in life, and they make the right decision. Immature people don't look at life as a whole. They just live for themselves, and they don't rationalize things. And the child of God, he wants to be mature, look at God in his fullness. In fact, the context when he actually tells us to be perfect, he's really talking about forgiveness. Be as your Heavenly Father is perfect. We think about everything in light of a child of God being saved and forgiven. We need to be perfect, mature in our dealings with people, knowing that everything about our lives is based on the fact of forgiveness. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Since God is eternal, he never changes. If you're faithful, that means you're consistent. You consistently live in regard to the fact that God is the Lord, that there's none else. That God is the master, that means he's your ruler. That God is love, that means you have everything you need because he's love. Because the one who's master, one who's ruler, no one can love like him. No one can be like him. That means your security is bound up and wrapped in him. And that gives you the power to be faithful. A steward is a man employed in great families to manage accounts. It also means to keep accounts for other people or collect rents or income. Faithful, as you know, means firmly adhering to duty. Our duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And that fear in the context is not like cowering, terrified, but respect him. You know, we all got dressed today out of respect to something. So some core values that we have. That respect caused us to whatever we put on to view ourselves in a certain way. And we move in a certain way. The way we speak today is out of respect to something. We speak the way we think we should, based on what we respect, what we value. The way you work when you're on a job when nobody else is looking, that's based on what you fear, what your respect is. Notice what I said, when nobody else is looking. Because we all know how to work a certain way when people are watching us. And we know how to turn on and look perfect, right? And hopefully it's the same when somebody else is there, you know. But what you fear, God, you keep his commandments, that's your whole duty involved in that. Now in the text here, he says, glorifying He said, even the eternal power of God. And as so I thought to myself, that's why we're going to Daniel, a faithful servant, to look at a faithful servant. And what about his life showed that he believed in the eternal power of God. Now turn to Daniel chapter 6 again, because many people start the race following God, but they don't finish the race. And it's because they don't believe in the eternal power of God. You know, the eternal power of God is not based on the circumstances, situations around us. I've mentioned the struggles of my own home church. The attendance has gone down, but my pastor is just as faithful as he was when they had over 100 to where he is now with probably the same number we have in the room right now. But he's faithful and he's continuing to grow in the Lord. He's still excited about the Bible. When every time I call him, I get a message. He preaches to me. And I like that because he loves the Word of God and because God hasn't changed, you know, and our Savior hasn't changed. And you think about that. Why should we be surprised by that? Look at our Savior. If we believe in the eternal power of God, my son gave a testimony about God basically running the weather. He's in charge. But if you look at the world, you listen to the news, it doesn't look like God is in control of anything. But what shows his eternal power is people in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the sin, saying, no matter what it looks like, my God run things. You know, God is the Lord. And it's amazing. And the people in this life that accomplish things that are beyond measure, and I hate to use a secular illustration, they always have a belief that makes them look like a fanatic at some point. The people that are greatest in the sports, they are fanatics. Because they've excluded everything for their vision of what they think they can do in that sport, and they accomplish things because of that. How much more when we have our vision in God and have that enhanced and empowered by the Holy Ghost of God to do what God would have us to do. Now, Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1, we see Daniel walk with the Lord here. In verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them. And the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. How's your spirit today? That's the main message. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. He should have known they were buttering up, but anyway. What's the... I missed a verse here in my mind. But all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal decree, a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. And people always label that Daniel. I know in our building we're the church people. The church people. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, he cried with a lamentable voice. He was afraid that he might be dead, even though he said he would deliver him. Lament, sorrowful. O Daniel, servant of the living God. We heard something about him. He's a living God. Servant of the living God, because he's eternal in his power. Servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. See, he didn't say, man, what'd you make that dumb decree for? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has set the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Amazing thing here is, it says he believed in his God, but we don't find anything in the context that he asked for any help from God regarding his situation. No man of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He believed that the actions that governed his life could not be changed, should not be changed, based on the circumstance, because his life illustrates that he believed in the eternal power of God. A few different points here, very simply. The message really is almost done. I know you won't believe that. But it says, number one, since the power of God is eternal, the prayer life of Daniel could not be compromised for the temple. Since the power of God is eternal, the prayer life of Daniel could not be compromised for the temple. Daniel was facing some pretty serious threats. But since he believed in the eternal power of God, what's waiting 30 days? Some people backslide, they only pray 30 days. So what would be the wrong thing? Well, God knows my situation. No, but the power of God is eternal. And God matters more than the temple. So Daniel was not going to adjust his prayer life temporarily for missional communion with the eternal. And that illustrates to you, he glorified God as God. Because he showed by that simple prayer life that God is the one that rules everything. That God is the Almighty, and that God has the power that dictates how he lives his life. Number two, since the power of God is eternal, Daniel never fought. Now, I'm going to scare you with this one. Because we're all been raised as left-wing conservative Baptists.
And the curse, you'll see, you'll know what I mean in a minute. Since the power of God is eternal, Daniel never fought with earthly authorities for his rights to worship and serve the Lord. You know, that's what we, fundamentalists waste a lot of time trying to fight for their rights to worship and serve the Lord. You know, if God is really in the Lord like he says he is, why not just serve the Lord? If God is on the throne, and if God is the master, and God is the ruler, if they change the law today about my ability, my freedom to preach Christ, I'm not going to Parliament. I'm not going to talk to the Prime Minister. I'm going to preach Christ because God is eternal and his power is eternal. And Daniel clearly understood that. And so he didn't fight with earthly authorities trying to get him to maneuver into position where they could give him rights to freely serve God. You think of how ridiculous that is. Now, let me ask you a question. Is God Almighty? Is God the Lord? Now, if Lord means master or ruler, correct? We agree with that definition? Okay, so if God is the Lord, he's master, he's ruler, why would I talk to a prime minister about religious freedom? Because God's the Lord, he's the master. I have religious freedom because God's the Lord. And he's the one that said, preach the gospel to every creature. He's the one that says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and all thy might. He's the one that said, lost the verse. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's the one that says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. He's the one that says, beside him there is no Savior. So it would be a contradiction. Is it not a contradiction? To just like, okay, who's sleepy right now? So I can keep you awake. Samuel there? Okay. also Megan. All right. So three people. I can use three people in illustration. Okay, so let's say Megan has $10,000 right now. And she's a very generous person, a very giving person. But Larry is the current prime minister. And Samuel is a premier. What sense would it make to me to come to Lara? So I'm trying to work with this equal rights stuff we got going on here. To go to Lara and say, hey, Lara, can I have $5,000 of Megan's money? Wouldn't make any sense. Or me to go to Samuel, or I should have started with Samuel first, work my way up the chain of command. So go to Samuel first and say, Samuel, can I have $5,000 of Megan's money? Yeah. But you know, he can say that, and I can ask, and she can say that. But you know what? Is that going to give me the money? No, because it's not their money. In fact, they can say that, and I can go take your money based on what they said, and I'm still not free. I still don't have the liberty to spend that money like I like to because I didn't get it from the person who it really belongs to. And that's why, even though we have religious freedoms, we really don't have freedom to serve Christ like we really should, because we are depending upon this freedom from earthly authorities instead of recognizing it's been delegated by the God who is love itself and has given us a command to go out and love a lost world like he did. And so we don't have to petition. I'm not advocating being some crazy radical rebel. Did we see that in Daniel? No, he just kept doing what he was doing. He just kept loving people. He loved God. And we see in a moment, we see in the life of the disciples. And so Daniel, he glorified the eternal power of God because he didn't fight with earthly authorities over the right to worship. He just simply continued to worship. This is a good one here. This one will help you here, this next one, if you're still awake. Since the power of God is eternal, Daniel had no regard for the highest earthly authority and power. Now, we covered that in a little bit. I'm going to tell you what the word regard means, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Since the power of God is eternal, Daniel had no regard for the highest earthly authority and power. Now, I'm not talking about government here, but the authorities that govern your decision-making that don't have anything to do with government. Regard means to attend with respect and estimation. Now, catch this here. It means to value.
It means to attend or pay attention to a thing that affects our interests or happiness. See, we make decisions. We don't glorify God as God because, see, Daniel did not have regard for any authority because he knew they had no connection to really his personal interest or to his happiness. His happiness was not determined by the king. His happiness was not determined by the government. His personal interests were not maintained by the government. I used to, when I was on deputation preaching, I'd go places and just, you know, in conservative places, and I know how to get people's attention sometimes, and I say, you know what, I firmly believe in affirmative action, you know, and you preach that and say it in the South, people kind of wonder what you mean by that, you know. And I said, I've always believed in affirmative action. I said, since I've been saved, I trust God, and he affirmatively acts. See, when I was lost, I didn't believe in affirmative action. I didn't believe either one of them because I thought, man, I don't want anybody to give me anything. I'm going to earn everything I got. I don't want to give me something just because I'm a black man. That's crazy. But see, but when I got saved, I realized that nobody in this earth has any sway over my personal interests because God has eternal power. Nobody in this earth has any sway over my happiness because God has eternal power. In verse 13, when they were criticizing Daniel, they really complimented him. It says, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. He said, he doesn't regard thee, king. He doesn't respect or value you as the one that can make a difference in his personal interest or his happiness. He doesn't regard you because he believed in the eternal power of God. That's why Daniel was faithful. If you're not happy today, it's because your focus is a good chance not on the eternal power of God. It's evident because the Bible says it's clearly seen the creation of the world. I mean, anybody, the Hubble telescope or Wendell Satellite is not keeping the sun rising every morning. That's based on the eternal power of God. The eternal power of God, that these things in creation are written there, are visible, that we can see, that it keeps going from night to day, night to day, night to day. No matter how bad it looks in the world, that's based on the eternal power of God. These things are clearly seen, so without excuse. And Daniel believed that. And he says he had no regard for the highest earthly authority and power. Now, for you, the prime minister may not have any sway over you, but Vogue magazine might have sway over your opinion making, or People magazine, or whatever you read somewhere may determine how you feel about yourself. You know, whatever the popular, if it's, you know, I found out good news the other day. I was actually reading some online. I found out that the dad bod is important, right? It's what's going on right now. The dad bod is the bod that the guy was muscular once, and he used to be an athlete, but he's got this little sag here. He's got this belly right now. But that's popular right now. But you know what? It'll make me feel any better about myself. To me, I'm overweight. I shouldn't lose some weight. And I don't feel that way because of what I see in Hollywood. I feel that way because my knees are bothering me. And my knees hurt. So my viewpoint of how I feel about myself is not determined by some popular opinion that's placed out there. Some authority. I mean, really, when you look in the mirror, what determines whether or not you like what you see or not? It should be God. I mean, but yourself. And that opinion that you have in your mind comes from somewhere. It should come from God. Because we can look in the mirror and we could go either direction with that. But see, Daniel didn't have any regard for any authority. Okay, the position you're in life right now, your job, your work, whatever you're doing, how do you feel about where you're at right now? What is the basis of how you feel about that right now? If you don't have X degree, then in your estimation, because you've listened to somebody that set a bar and you regard that bar, and so you cannot be content or feel good about yourself until you achieve a certain academic level. To some, based on what amount, maybe what amount of money you have in the bank. Okay, but because of what you have regard for, you won't be content with the amount of money you have in the bank because someone has set that value for you. But Daniel didn't have regard for the highest authority and power. And you know, maybe you want somebody in this room, you may be one of the most powerful person in the world one day. But you know, if you set yourself as that regard, you'll still make bad decisions. And you miss out on the greatest blessing that there is of everything, having God set everything. Am I saying don't be educated? Am I saying don't have money? No, I'm not saying that. But don't let those things set your goals. Don't let those things set your values. I mean, too many people are dissatisfied with themselves because of a personal estimation set by someone that they have viewed as having authority or power. Okay? Back in the day, we called it GQ. Today, it's called swag. Well, who determines who's GQ and who's swag? Now, Samuel thinks it's him. Okay, so Samuel is, since he wanted to slip his hand up, Samuel is the standard of swag in GQ. Now, but anybody that's right with God will say that's impossible because God's the Lord, because God has eternal power. And they'll say it is absolutely ridiculous for my personal worth to be based on what I see in somebody else that was created just like I was created. Can I get a witness? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Come on now. I'm not beating up people, but I'm trying to help all of us to make sure we have a right regard in this life. And we're actually a lot more blessed than we think we are. We're actually a lot more of what God wants us to be. Especially if you're a child of God, you're complete in Him. You have everything that you need in Him. And Daniel understood that, and even though he was walking through some potentially life and death situation in life, it didn't move him because he knew the eternal power of God. Next thing, number three, that was, I added 2A when I was praying last night, but so this is number, that was 2A, this is number three. Since the power of God is eternal, Daniel never asked the Lord for an earthly deliverance from an earthly trial that he experienced because of his faith. Since the power of God is eternal, Daniel never asked the Lord for an earthly deliverance from an earthly trial that he experienced because of his faith. It's pretty there in the context. He didn't ask for anything. He got all we know, he went and prayed, and he was thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel, when he prayed, he said, I have no hurt. It's because God knew I was innocent. There's nothing that says Daniel asked to be freed, asked to be delivered. In fact, I was thinking about other disciples. Was it Peter was in jail or Paul? And he was asleep in the jail. And an angel came and hit him in the side to wake him up. So, hey, go, man. He wasn't even worried. He was in jail for doing right. He's sleeping. And angel, hey, by the way, we were letting you out of here. You know, we're looking to be delivered. One thing, man, you know, I said, man, this is terrible. I'm serving God. My liberty's been restrained. My freedom taken away. I can't believe this. No, he's just in jail. The angel said, no, get up. I got more work for you to do. Go. See, when emphasis on the eternal power of God, we'd be amazed what we can actually do for God. The people will help. Lives will be changed. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, in the midst of all the threatenings of the disciples, they just simply asked for boldness. That's all they asked for. They asked for boldness. Now, I was thinking about in Jesus, in I think it's John 17, his prayer. He said, I pray not for the world. He said, I pray for those you've given me. You know, and because the children of God want to make the difference. You know, if those of us that are born again, will get right with God, we'll help some people. Now, last of all, since the power of God is eternal, actually, go to Acts chapter 4. And this all ties together. In Acts chapter 4, we'll start looking at verse 20, I guess it is. And actually, we'll just read verse... well, we see the threatenings
In verse number 20, it says in, well, pardon me, 18, it says in Acts 4, verse 18, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God judge ye." Now there's, we get our principle there that the disciples didn't have any regard for any authority either. They weren't disrespectful, but they knew who had the eternal power. I mean, really, I mean, it just, I mean, can you imagine, getting back to the illustration with Megan and the money, can you imagine Blair being offended? You know, if I went to Megan directly, and I said, "Megan, can I have $5,000? She said, "Sure." And Blair getting in there. "Why did you ask me?" I can't believe that, Miss Samson. Just, why did he not ask Mr. Swag? can you imagine how ridiculous that would be for them to be frustrated over me not asking them over the authority to use her own money? Do you see how our thinking is so, if God really is the Lord, if God really is Almighty, I mean, are you seeing how that we don't even realize it, that we've been moved from the truth of what we would all say we believe in? We say he's Almighty. We believe he's Almighty. We say he's the Lord, but we go around asking people for help in our lives and to make a difference in our lives, to define our lives, to give our lives meaning, to give our lives value, to give our lives substance from someone that does not even have the authority to make that difference or to have an impact on our lives. And it's a wonder why people have trouble with simple things like this faith and just believing God, and because we're missing on glorifying the eternal power of God. And we look at someone like Daniel, we think that guy was extreme. No, he simply, because you think about it, there was no great work up of or act of faith. No, he just, the Bible said the decree was signed, he just went, "Well, I'm going to go pray." I said before, I realize sometimes I get too excited because my faith is weak. If I really, you know, it's like saying 2 + 2 = 4, you know. I mean, that's pretty, I'm not doing cartwheels over that. But I remember sometime when I would do a test, and if I wrote that, if I did 2 + 2 = 4, it'd be like, "Hey, that's good." But that's not exciting. But when I used to take geometry, and I took trig, and I got back a test and had 100% on there, I was like, "Yeah, yes!" Because I was like, I believed I could do it, but this part of me said, "Wow, that's a big accomplishment, you know. 2 + 2 = 4, that's no big deal." If God's Almighty, really, if God is the Lord, what's really a big deal? Because he just does what he says. The big deal is come when we come into knowing, oh wow, God can do that. We learn, the more we learn about God, certainly we can be excited and praise him. David did. He danced before the Lord. Amen. Praise God for that. But we see the disciples here illustrating also that they weren't looking for deliverance. But what we didn't read it yet. Verse 29, it says, "And now behold their threatenings." Acts 4, verse 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." Now, we looked at the disciples for the last one, that glorify the eternal power of God, in Acts 5, I wrote down this, "Since the power of God is eternal, the apostles found joy in temporal shame for the eternal name of Jesus." Since the power of God is eternal, the apostles found joy in temporal shame for the eternal name of Jesus. Now, in Acts 5, lost my verse here. Now, in verse, we see him called here in verse 29, they make the statement, the apostles, and the other, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They just told them who the Savior was, and they're not too happy about it. Then stood there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves, that ye and what ye intend to do is touching these men. For before those days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel, or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Since the power of God is eternal, the apostles found joy in the temporal shame for the eternal name of Jesus. You know, when I looked at this verse last week and was studying this message, you know, I've always looked at this passage and I've emphasized the physical suffering that the disciples went through. And I thought, man, I wish I would find joy in suffering like that. But I realized this last week and this past week, you know, the strength of their Christianity was not their willingness to suffer physically, but it's their willingness to suffer shame. Because, as a human race, we're not really afraid to suffer. I used to think we were, but we're not. I've suffered for sports, willingly. I've suffered academically, studying, you know, staying up insane hours of night, trying to pass exams and things like that. I've suffered physically on jobs to make money. I've suffered in the flesh simply to have my own way. Doing crazy things with my body at night and punishing myself to do what I thought was I was supposed to do, to be somebody in this world. And to establish myself. A human race is not afraid to suffer. But they are afraid to suffer shame. Because you think about it. That is, because the disciples, they weren't commanded not to heal people. They were not commanded not to do good deeds. But don't do it in the name of Jesus. And on your job, you can be a good employee. You could be a good student at school, but you let anybody compliment you and you try to give all the glory to Jesus Christ, it changes. It's almost like somebody let a skunk in the room sometimes. In Christianity, it's suffering because people are not worthy or willing to suffer shame. And you think about that, and I was thinking about that exactly. Well, I said, don't speak in the name of Jesus. And the boldness comes, and I wrote down here, now this is, if you catch, this is good, the definition. A painful sensation, this is a definition of shame. A painful sensation excited by a consciousness of guilt or of having done something which injures reputation. Now, do you know why? Anybody catch by the definition, the Holy Ghost reveal, make the connection of why it's so difficult to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ? Anybody draw the connection? What is it? Anybody? Just see anybody go to where I'm going. Pardon me? Exactly. What is it? Who set the bar for its Christianity? Who sets the bar for its Christianity? What did he do with his reputation? He made himself no reputation. This is why this is the most critical thing probably of the Christian life. The disciples found joy in suffering shame. You know, you can make a list of things. You know why? If you've served the Lord a while, people change their convictions. And by that I mean, and I hate when I use the word conviction, I'm not talking about external dress. You're a fundamentalist. Me, I always think that I'm thinking dress and external things, but I just mean value sometimes. But it can be that because of you don't want to suffer shame. People don't often give or help others because they don't want to suffer the shame of missing out on having something in this world that they think they should have. You know, preachers can't even surrender and preach and serve God in ministry without going to a Bible college because of the shame of saying they were just trusting in the name of Jesus Christ alone and being sent from the pillar ground of the truth. The shame. Can you imagine how ridiculous that is? Well, you know, well now if you go to candidate church, you have to have a resume like everything else. Because churches don't have any discernment about the Spirit of God working and know if anybody's spiritual or not. And can you imagine a preacher showing up and say, well, you know what? What was your preparation? Well, God saved me. And the best of my ability, I walk with God and I do everything in my life by the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be enough, shouldn't it? If you believe in the eternal power of God. Now, if you don't, then you're going to have issues with that. But what I'm saying is, the apostles, they found joy in shame because they understood the eternal power of God. This shows the true humility and the key to the strength of the faith of the apostles. In this life, most honestly, you're not afraid of suffering. Because most of our society willingly endures suffering so that they may live their own way. However, it is the fear of suffering shame that keeps most from a faithful life unto God. I was talking to some pastors this week and, you know, people struggle oftentimes in their Christian life because of the shame that comes by living by faith. What do you mean by that? Okay, you're a faithful Christian. You're waiting on God. You're walking with God. Faith is evidence of things not seen. You know, because we are so warped in our thinking sometimes, we're looking at something and we're trying to see if anybody has evidence in their life. Instead of trusting that they're just living by faith. And many Christians, because they don't see any evidence, they'll try to create some evidence. That's why churches do a lot of crazy things to get seats, get people in the seats sometimes. So it looks like they're doing something. If you can't come by prayer and loving people and talk to people, then I don't know how else to get it done. I want to be real what's here. But sometimes when you live in that faith, there's not any evidence that you're doing things. I used to find myself when I had to feel like I had to explain why. When you're a small church like this, a few people out, you know, it looks big. You know? I used to find myself continually trying to say, okay, well, so and so's out there. If we had a visitor come, so and so's not here today. So we think we're a real church. We got lots of people. No, we're a real church because we believe in the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saved me. That's what keeps me saved. And the eternal power of God has not changed one bit soever. Through the years, and right now, I thank God for my children. Are they perfect? No. As I said before, because I know what their parents are. But you know what? The reality is, if I had money, for every time somebody asked me, well, so what are your kids doing? And I just look and say, well, they're waiting on God. What should they be doing? Well, but they got to be doing this. Well, they're waiting on God. If you're a single person, why are you not married? Well, you should be accomplished if you're waiting on God. What's wrong with that? So many people are married and miserable anyway. Thank God that they don't have to be that way, but thank God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say about that? When you live in the evidence, things not seen. People will abandon a life of faith. And many people go out and try to create something that looks like they're doing something because of the shame. You know, it can look pretty shameful waiting on God. You know that? Because you know something, waiting on God, it can look like absolutely nothing's going on in your life. Can I get a witness? Am I been there? Yeah. I mean, this is a real church. I mean, we're telling the truth. I can tell the truth while I'm preaching, right? Sometimes you wait on God and it looks like nothing is going, nothing is happening, and people around you don't understand that sometimes, and you want to abandon the plan of God, and you will unless you believe in the eternal power of God. But if you believe in that eternal power, you'll know the voice that called you into salvation. That same voice will say, be still, be faithful, and you'll keep being faithful no matter what's going on. And you'll have a strength and a power. And just like the young lady said, there'll be somebody that is watching you one day and say, well, yeah, I can do that because they're doing that. It must be, I don't know why they would remain faithful. I don't know why they would have a testimony in the situation. I don't know why they would share Christ in a situation where nobody wants to share Christ. I don't know why they would love their enemies when we live in a world that doesn't love their enemies. Why would they do that? Because of the eternal power of God. Because we answer to one that is above everything. But you know, when you believe in eternal power, that shame for his name, you'll think, wow. Can you think of the ridicule? Do you understand how Jesus left the earth? He left the earth as God. God. Let me say it again. God in the flesh. And it looked like to everyone that was looking on that God, with all his power, hey, physician, if you're the physician, heal thyself. Hey, you up there on the cross, you come down if thou be the Son of God. If you got all the power like you say you do, you come down. He didn't come down because he had the power. he knew who he was. He did not have to perform for anybody. He did not have to show anything to anybody because he was doing exactly what he said he would do. He went to the cross like he said he would. He let him crucify him like he said he would. He let himself die like he said he would. And when it was time to come out of the grave, he came out just like he said he would because of his eternal power. And he was able to do those things. And so when we walk by faith, God needs some people that would glorify his eternal power. I'm not saying you have disrespect or disregard or what. Yeah, I guess I am saying have disregard. But you can respect the government and not regard the government. You can respect your peers and not regard your peers. You have to get in the face of all your peers that sometimes cause you to do things you don't really want to do and get in their face. All you have to do is, you know how simple life is sometimes if you walk with God? Somebody's trying to get you to do something. Well, I just don't really feel the Lord's in that. I may be wrong, but I'm not a perfect person, but I'm uncomfortable. I don't think that pleased my Savior. Just walk in this, and that's end of discussion. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to try to prove it even. You know why? Because if you believe in the eternal power of God, you're not trying to convince them anyway. You're just walking with God. You have to just drop the bomb and walk with them. I'm not going to do that. Daniel, when the decree was signed, he didn't try to convince them that God had eternal power and they were making a mistake. No, the way he responded proved that he had eternal power. He just kept being the person that God made him to be, and he kept walking with God. And we can rejoice and hear about him today, and we can believe in the eternal power of God because of somebody like Daniel. And we can see even the picture of how God can save anybody. He can preserve anybody. God can take you from an impossible earthly situation. I was reading this week about Abraham and Sarah. I tell you, there's so many life illustrations. Abraham and Sarah, who against hope, believed in hope, says in the book of Romans. If you're hopeless today, you're in great shape if you're hopeless today. that don't make much sense, but you're in great shape if you're hopeless. Because Abraham, here he is 100 years of age, and God said, you have a son. His own body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. But there's one thing that changed it all. It was the eternal power of God. And without going into details, they still had to do something to prove they believed in the eternal power of God for that child to come forth. Older people, y'all with me? I'm not, without being graphic, I'm just saying they had to do something to believe. And something had to happen. You know, thank God for his ability.
I mean, they had faith and they walked with God.
Psalm 31:23, the Bible said, "The Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Proverbs 28:20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Proverbs 10:22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it." God had a sad statement. He said, "But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." God has eternal power. Trust him enough to live by faith. Believe in his eternal power enough that you don't let anybody set the values for your life except but God himself. My kids can tell you, I don't want them to follow my advice. I don't want them to know who God is. And those of you that I'm your pastor, I don't want you to work out of respect to me. I want you to respect God. Because if you love him, nobody can love you like he does. Amen. I submit that we love him because he first loved us. And that's a powerful statement. God loved us. Even if you're not saved today, God loves you. He poured himself out for you. But you know what? God help us not to be like just the status quo and just do what everybody else does. Let us know God enough and walk with him. Let's have fervent prayer lives. Let's have lives where we honor and live for the King. I mean, really, let's think about the life of Jesus for a moment. He ended his earthly life helping everybody he could help, healed entire cities. And he didn't leave this earth in a blaze of glory, and people praised him for his good deeds while he was here. All his disciples forsook him and fled. He died alone on the cross. You know why he did that? Because he had eternal power. And that faith that he had, that he manifested, that he showed, shows me today and should show you today that the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. Because really, does that make sense? I mean, the way he lived and died, I mean, does that make sense? I mean, does it make sense that a person can live like that? And because, you know, we've made church and religion a business. We've influence and opportunity to get our name out. People know who we are. And when, you know what happened? You know what happened when Jesus got his name out? They wanted him dead. But those that want him will believe on him, but there'll be still those that will want him dead. But what I'm saying is this. God has eternal power. Find your direction from God. Let God define your life. And don't be ashamed to suffer shame. Because Jesus made himself no reputation because he had no reputation. You think if you're saved today, you have a reputation because Jesus had no reputation. You know I have a reputation? Because Jesus had no reputation. Some people actually think I'm smart or something because Jesus had no reputation. And was willing to pour his life into me. And love me when I was unlovable, still unlovable. But thank God he loves me. And as his child, he's a perfect father. Love never wanes. Even the backside, his goodness and mercy follows me because he loves me. What defines your existence today? Let your life be defined by the eternal power of God and have the faith to manifest that eternal power. I tell you, this was, you know, when I looked at that about the disciples and that willingness to suffer shame, I examined my own life. You know, there were many good things I did in the ministry, even, because I was afraid of being ashamed by people. And I thought, how tragic that these disciples will simply love God and they would suffer, it was joyful to suffer shame. But somehow we've been convinced that if we walk with God and we do everything right, that people just naturally love us and we have just as good reception. I'm not saying go out and look for enemies, but I'm saying, man, just be like Jesus. Let's just wake up and be real. But can I tell you that because of the eternal power of God, in those times when you have those enemies, you'll understand why that guy wrote that song. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And you and I will have that day one day like Stephen did. When you've done, when you've simply been there to be a Daniel, as the old song said, and you're walking with the Lord, and you get thrown down into the pit with the lions. It'll be okay. And maybe like the Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace, God would join the fellowship meeting. I see four men loose. One is like the Son of God. I like encouraging. This should be encouraging. You know, one of the ways you can receive this is you can receive it as what you're not, or you can receive it as what you could be. Satan wants to bring it to you as what you're not. But that's not why God had it preached. God had it preached so to show you what you could be. I told somebody the other day, they were discouraged about something, and I said, how did I say God is... God didn't command guilt. He didn't call good, he called for repentance. See, Satan, if you're like me or like I have been different times, I mean, this was pretty convicting when I looked at my fear of suffering shame for the name of Christ. The physical suffering, no. In fact, I don't mind suffering in the flesh, doing things, working hard, but that shame for his name, I realized, wow, Lord, that's me. But God didn't call me to feel guilty about it. He called me just to repent. See, Satan, you know, if you feel guilty, you just stay exactly where you're at. That's exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to say, well, man, I don't live like that. Man, I know somebody else said my values. I know I value her opinion. I value his opinion. I value the world's ideals here. I value the world's ideals here. In fact, forget about the world. I just value my own opinion. I mean, that's... and you sit there and feel guilty about it. Oh, no, you just know. Wait a minute. Do you believe God has eternal power? Do you believe God is the Lord? You believe he's the master? He's a ruler. Are we losing some of you along the way? If you believe all those things, then just repent. And let God deal with changing you. Don't sit there and say, well, man. I'm really trying to build you up, believe it or not. I mean, I'm trying to... Do you see this life of Daniel? That's a powerful life. The life of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and Jesus jumped in the fire with them. Hey, the life of the disciples, we ought to obey God rather than people were saved eternally because these people, they believed in the eternal power of God. Just let God have his way in your heart today. Turn to him and trust him and let him walk with him. Let him be what he wants to be in your life, and you'll be glad that you did. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for being willing to suffer shame for me, that you could give me your name. Father, thank you for saving me, making me one of your children. You're just a great God. I love you for it. Your death of Jesus Christ makes me worthy. You felt I was worthy enough to die for my sin. So when you made me your child, you made me eternally worthy forever. Forgive me the times that I try to even take credit for my own salvation when I find my worth or being based on even how I serve you. Father, I'm your child. Thank you. I have a permanent identification with you that the world and nobody in this life could ever take away from me. Thank you that you would call me one of your children. Father, would you rescue someone today from sin? Save them. if they're lost. Father, there's someone here today that they know that they know you as God, but they're truly not glorifying your eternal power. God, would you help them? Please don't help nobody just shake this message off. God, have mercy, please. And help those that, whose heart has been touched to truly repent. And they'll realize how much you really love them and how that you really are not a condemner, but you're their creator. Father, there's truly none like you. God, have mercy today. Lord, I think of so many wasted opportunities I've had to glorify you, to show forth your eternal power. Find my identity through my sports, my athleticism, whether I was fat or skinny or all the different things, Father. Father, what a shame. And all those things I spoke of, every single one of them is temporal. Thank you for saving me, Father. And thank you for showing me, even once again, that your help me, that, and for showing me the regard I've had for things and opinions and things in this life. And I'm missing a great opportunity just by to please you by living in the authority of your eternal power. God, would you break somebody free from whatever is governing them besides yourself? Lord, you're so great. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Give us the privilege to talk to you in prayer. Take a few moments and pray and talk to the Lord. If God spoke to your heart, I pray you talk back to Him. If God convicted you, again, just repent. Don't let Satan condemn you. God, when God shows you where you're at, He's calling you to where He wants you to be. He's not trying to make you feel bad. He's trying to let you get better. Yes. One who first loved me, thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, my Father. I trust everyone has done what you've asked him to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all want to sing that? Y'all want to sing that? Y'all know if you sing it. Let it go. Just go fake it if you don't know it. Then we'll get closure then. It'll be a good. You know who you're singing it for, right? The one that has eternal power. So it don't matter if you miss some verses or miss a word. It don't matter to us. It's for him. Praise his eternal power. And sing it to him like he has the eternal power. Like you want him to hear it. Amen. He's not deaf, I know, but just let him hear it. Come on. Let it go, man. Yes, only one. That's right. Amen. Yes, he did. Amen. Praise God. Sound good to me. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be honoring. It's perfect to me. Did I heard the message? Just going to read a verse and we'll be dismissed. For those that, if God spoke to your heart, I'm going to give you opportunity to glorify the eternal power of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if God spoke to your heart today and you did repent, the God that has the eternal power, by his declaration, he's cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And you can glorify his eternal power and walking out here believing that. Or not. And forgiveness is very simple if you believe who has the eternal power. That's how you get saved. You believe, if you're saved today, you believe that in a time and place you came to Christ, you turned from sin, you believe on God, and you believe in His eternal power to save you. It works the same way when you fall into sin as a child of God. Confess. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But there again, if you have regard for people more than God, people witness our failures and our sins sometimes, and they remind you of those unclean things that you do. But the one that has eternal power, He said, if you confess your sins, He is faithful. He is just. He will forgive. He will cleanse. And so based on the authority of Him, if you confess today, you're cleansed. And that's what you get. Absolutely, brother. That's how you walk out of here. Amen. What a God. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for ministry and song. Thank you for just you being you. Rescue someone today and change somebody's life by your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask us all. Amen. Hey, before we go, we're really are dismissed, but take these. Can we pass it out there, buddy? We're having a prayer meeting next Saturday. I mentioned at the Runnymede Library. And it's from 10 till 2. Runnymede, if you're able to come. Richard, some of you don't know Richard, but Richard's trained for the ministry. I'm having him teach a couple different sessions on prayer. And we're going to pray. He's going to teach one. We'll pray. I may teach a middle one. I'm not sure yet. I was planning to, but I'm trying to pray. But so you have an address to time. So next Saturday, 10 till 2, and do that. And if anybody can be here, I don't know who will be here. Let's see. I don't know. At 1:30 next week, because Pastor McQuiggan, their church, having Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and I'm preaching for their Pastor Appreciation Sunday as they honor him. I'll be here for church, but I might not be here by 1:30. If somebody could just come in and get the stuff from the garden and everything, so again, we should be back in time to set up. But if somebody can be here at 1:30 to meet the security guard and just get the stuff out of the room. Oh, no, that's right. Yes, yeah, right. You can't get it because of work. Okay, good. All right, good. Enough said. If anybody wants to help be here early to set up just in case, because we're driving back from Burlington that day, we should be here in time. But you know, it's Toronto traffic. You know, so, but most importantly, come to prayer meeting next week. Come to pray. Prayer does make a difference. Prayer changes things. And most importantly, it pleases God. Amen. Have a blessed week. If we can bless you anyway, let us know. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Amen. Go walk in His eternal power. I choose Jesus, the one who first chose me. And I choose Jesus, I choose Jesus, now and eternity. Praise God. Good. Carl can see it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Amen. Amen. Gloria. Do-do-do-do-do. Set free. And I choose you. I choose Jesus. Oh, no problem. We're not allowed to act like we like people in this church. We have to put it.